If you have a Bible this morning, if you want to turn to the small book of Obadiah, I would tell you which number in the minor prophets Obadiah is, but my brain doesn't want to think through them at the moment. So, it got lost in there somewhere, and I know that they come in a specific order. I just forgot what it is. The prophet Obadiah wasn't writing to the Israelites. Well, maybe he was, but if he was, he was voicing it as if he was speaking to Israel's neighbors and distant relatives, Edom. Yet there were lessons for the Israelites to learn, and that is the reason that we can open up our Bibles today and read a prophecy that was spoken or written to Edom, because there was a lesson or lessons to be learned. And if there were lessons for the nation of Israel to learn, I assume that there are probably lessons for you and me to learn. And the first lesson that we're going to learn from the prophet Obadiah is that our success will not protect us. It's easy to look at well-known failures and to see how this plays out. We can look backwards to King David and see how his successes led to his failures. King Solomon's successes led to his failures. We can look more recently, if you follow the news of things that are happening in the church here in the United States, the name Jerry Falwell Jr. will stick out as one of those, or Ravi Zacharias. And if you look at any of them, they all share some similarities with the situation that Obadiah is speaking about when he writes to the nation of Edom. And if we look at any of them, they will give us insight and they show us reasons why we as followers of Christ need each other in times of struggle, but even more in the times of our own success. Edom was the descendants of Jacob's brother Esau. They were located just to the south of the Dead Sea in a area that was marked by cliffs and plateaus, and it made a fairly decent natural defense for Edom. There's also the thing that they were located on one of the major trade routes from north to south, from east to west in the Middle East, and so Edom was comfortable because they were able to tax the goods that were flowing up and down that highway. They were safe and they were secure. It seems the situation, though, that brought God to rebuke Edom through the prophet Obadiah was a victory of coalition forces against Judah that Edom was either a part of or took advantage of. And they took advantage of it as an opportunity to despoil Jerusalem. They went in and they took and they looted, kind of like if you've seen in our recent history pictures on television of riots where people simply break in and take whatever they want. Well, that's what it appears that Edom was doing as part of this victorious coalition that brought God's rebuke against Edom. We're going to read this morning from Obadiah, and I tell you it's the first chapter, but there really is only one chapter in the book of Obadiah. I thought about saying we're going to read Obadiah 1 through 9, but there's only one chapter, so it's only 9 verses. You know, it's not like if I said we're going to open up the Psalms and read Psalm 1 through 9, and we're going to be here all morning. Obadiah, beginning with the first verse, Obadiah writes, he says, "The vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. We have heard a report from the Lord, and an envoy has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us go against her. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The arrogance of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in the loftiness of your dwelling place, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to earth? Though you build high like an eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If a thief came to you, if robbers by night, oh, how you would be ruined. Would they not steal only until they had enough? If grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave some gleanings? Oh, how Esau will be ransacked, and how his hidden treasures searched out. All the men allied with you will send forth to, excuse me. All the men allied with you will send you forth to the border, and the men at peace with you will deceive you and overpower you. They who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. There is no understanding in him. Will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men of Edom and understanding from the mountain of Esau? Then your mighty men will be dismayed, O Teman, so that everyone may be cut off from the mountain of Esau by slaughter." There are three things that show us that our success can lead to our failure. And it begins with a sense of safety. If we look at Edom as Obadiah is writing to Edom, excuse me, I'm excited or I'm in a hurry and I want to get done, I'm not sure which. Maybe a bit of both. Edom had a sense of safety where they were located. They felt that they were safe. They were a very small nation. Israel was a small nation. Edom was even smaller. But yet, because of where they were located, because of their geography, they believed that there was a safety for them. And God is speaking to them, and he's warning them that the fall that they are going to experience will come in part because of their sense of safety. If we look through history at the times that great men have fallen, most often it's not because of weaknesses, but it's because they have a sense of safety. They have a sense of their own abilities or the ability of the place where they are to protect them. You and I, as followers of Jesus, if we're going to learn a lesson from Obadiah, we're not going to necessarily look at the things that they looked at, but we need to look at our situation, and one of the things that we might look at and say that we are safe from is safe from sin. After all, we're sitting in church. We have, most of us, if not all of us, have given our life to Jesus Christ. We claim to be living for Him, and so we might claim that there is a sense in which we are safe from sin. Yet, sometimes this sense of safety causes us to have a letdown in our laurels or our morals. We sense safety, and so we do not protect ourselves from sin. I like what Solomon writes in the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 16 and the 18th verse. He says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall." We need to remember that. That pride goes before destruction, and we need to be reminded that a haughty spirit comes before a fall. And if we look to the past, if we look at David or Solomon, if we look at those that are more famous in today's news, what we find is that when great men fall, pride and a haughty spirit have gone before, a sense of safety. And often, as followers of Christ, that sense of safety is a safety from sin. We don't believe that we have to worry about sin, and so we set ourselves up, as Solomon says, with a haughty spirit, we set ourselves up for a fall. There's another aspect of this. If we look through what Obadiah is writing to Edom, another thing that we sense, besides just a safety from sin that is present, especially when we look at those of higher status who fall, often there is also a safety from rebuke. Edom believed that they were set apart, that they were set alone, and they didn't have anybody to answer to. They believed that there was nobody to rebuke them, to call them out for what they were doing. And when we find that men fall, we find that often it is because they lack a safety of rebuke. They think that they're safe. They think that there is nobody that they have to answer to. And they set up their lives so that there really is no oversight by anybody else. There is nobody else that has the authority to speak into their life, to ask them questions, to give them expectations, and have them believe that if they don't live up to those expectations, that at minimum there is going to be a rebuke. And throughout history, that seems to be the luxury of those who are in power, those who are more well-to-do. But as we look at society around us, it is a problem for Western society where we live and we put so much emphasis on individuality that we say, "You can't tell me what to do. You have no right to tell me that." But yet, as we look at where things are going, we find that we need those people. We need to give others the opportunity to speak into our lives to protect ourselves, to keep us accountable, to keep us on the straight and the narrow path. We need each other, often more in our successes than in our failures. And Edom believed that they were safe from their enemies. They had physical enemies that surrounded them that from time to time would come and visit Edom, but Edom was generally fairly safe. And Edom believed that this safety, this place of stronghold that they held, that they moved in and out of, that they lived in, would protect them. And as we read this morning, God says, not so much. You may think you're safe, but you're not. And we look around us and we may not think about enemies the same way that Edom did, that Israel would have. But I looked and I was just thinking as I was writing these things down and preparing my sermon this morning, and I think there are a lot of enemies that we feel safe from. And rather than pointing out the enemies, I just pointed out the things that we believe bring us safety. And to some extent, there are things that we rely on day to day, just like Edom relied upon the places they lived, and it's not wrong to have any of these areas of safety. What becomes wrong is when we believe that they protect us and give us a level of freedom from God Himself. One of those safeties that becomes prominent in our society, as it has in no other time in history or place in history, is retirement income. Where we believe that we have nothing to fear because we've saved. We've put it away. Another one that is really in the last one or two centuries become prominent is insurance. And not just one kind of insurance, but insurance against everything. Where we believe that we can protect ourselves from everything bad that might happen if we can just insure it. And so you can see, I have seen where different people are insured for some of the most interesting things. I studied for a while to sell insurance, and one of the things that we studied while I was there was insurance against alien abduction. Yeah, we know, Tracy. We know. And we prayed they'd keep you, and they sent you back anyway. I heard that Troy Polamalu, now you may not know who he is. He played football, professional football, for the Pittsburgh Steelers for a number of years, but he was known for this long flowing hair. And today, if you see on television, this guy with long, big, bushy hair selling Head and Shoulders, that's Troy Polamalu. At one point in time, his hair was insured. So that if somebody came up and just randomly cut his hair or somebody pulled it all out, there was insurance on his hair. We insure against some weird things. And we insure against some things that are, you know, we hope we never need. But we think we can insure everything. We think we're safe from our enemies because we have our health. And if the last year and a half hasn't taught our nation anything, it's that we are not safe in our health, no matter how good we think things are. We find safety in our health care. And if the last year and a half hasn't taught us anything, our health care system is not good. It's the best one in the world, probably, but there are some things that they just can't protect us against. And maybe we believe we're safe from our enemies, like many of the people of Edom would, simply because of their government. I'm not even going to talk about that anymore. But you see, there is with Edom, as with us, there are these senses of safety that we get, and we think that we're okay because of safety. We also come likely to fall because of wrong relationships. Now, you may not have understood this, but if you read through what Obadiah is writing to the nation of Edom, one of the things that we see is he's talking about the fact that Edom has built these relationships with the wrong countries. And they have joined together, and verse 7 says that they have allied themselves with these other nations. Nations that they believe are secure and will bring them strength, but in truth, well, they're not. And as I was thinking about our wrong relationships that we tend to build as people, as we look around and we begin to build relationships, which is normal, it's important. You know, it is important that we have relationships with other people. Some of us are married, and it's important that you have a relationship with your spouse. Some of us are parents. It's important that we have a relationship with our kids, especially when they live at home with us. Some of us don't have those, but we have to have relationships with other people. We were created. You go back to Genesis chapters 1 through 3, and what do we read? That we were created in the image of God, and as you read about what that means, part of that means that we were created for relationship. We were created to be relational beings. But if we look at those who fall, what we find is that there are the wrong relationships. Some of those wrong relationships are ones where there is not enough accountability present. Or we don't build enough relationships with other people where there is a level of accountability, where people see and hear and know where we're going. And when I grew up, we lived in a small town and everybody knew everything about everybody, I thought. But the more I look back on it, it was only the adults who knew stuff about the kids. What they were doing, where they were going. And there was some good to that. But once you got beyond childhood to a little higher level, some of that accountability gets lost. And we don't look for people who we will give the authority to speak into our lives. I was thinking about King David. King David didn't have those people who were allowed to speak into his life. That's why when he saw Bathsheba from his roof, he asked them to find out who she was. They told him very specifically, and then he sent them off to bring her to him. Because he didn't have people who had the accountability level to speak into his life and say, David, wake up. And we need people in our lives who we go beyond a shallow relationship with so that they have a level of oversight and a level of accountability is built between us and them so they can look at us and say, wake up. And God was looking at Edom and saying, you have built these relationships with the wrong nations. Not only do we lack relationship, but we connect with those who can and do feed our sinfulness. You've heard the statement, right? A rotten apple ruins the whole bunch, the whole basket, the whole bushel, whatever it is. However big a thing of apples you have, one rotten apple can spoil the whole bunch. If you look for people who can and do feed our sinfulness, which is what we normally do. We look for people who will not hold us accountable, but rather will make us feel good about the sins that we enjoy. There's another statement that says misery loves. Somebody keeps answering my statements. Misery loves company. You know what I'm saying. And we believe that. Misery loves company. Misery doesn't generally bring us to look for the right things. Sinfulness does not lead us to look for the proper relationships. Rather, we go out and we look for people who sin like we do, so that we are not going to be held accountable for the sins that we like to commit. We also, unfortunately, there is another type of relationship, and this is where I think that God is pointing Edom to. He says that not only do you have these people who are you're allied with, said, but, oh, just hold on, you think you have peace and safety with them, but those who eat your bread will set an ambush for you. There are times we connect with people who feed off of us and our weaknesses. We didn't go looking for them because we liked their sins. They came and they began a relationship to use us. They began a relationship because of what we could offer to them, and they are simply draining our spirituality away from us. And I'm not saying we shouldn't have relationships with people who need to know the Lord. That is important, but sometimes we have to be able to look at those relationships and say, and I'm in this for the wrong reason. Or this person is simply drawing me farther and farther away from what God would ask of me. There's finally one last thing that we see from Obadiah that leads to failure, that can take us from success to failure, that if we recognize can actually help us to build the right kind of success, and that is that Edom didn't recognize God's oversight. Now, I'll admit, Edom was not the people of God. Edom was not a nation that God had chosen to be his people. Yet Edom had the message. Edom grew up in Isaac's household. Edom grew up with Jacob. Esau would have heard the same accounts of God's call of Abraham and God's promise to Abraham. He would have heard the same stories about God reiterating that promise and that commitment to Isaac. Esau and Edom would have over and over again heard about what God was doing for Israel, Jacob's descendants. But yet they refuse to acknowledge that God is over all things. We live in a society that is trying to push God farther and farther away from anything, but yet the reminder needs to be for us that God is over everything. And not only is God over everything, but if we're reading what God writes to the nation of Edom, will find that there are several places where he says, I'm going to hold you accountable. In verse 4, he says, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. As one example, where God is saying, I am in control, and I am going to hold you people and all nations accountable. I like what is written in 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 28. And it's very similar to one of the verses that Dan read this morning from Psalm chapter 18, verse 27. But 2 Samuel 22, verse 28 says, "You will save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low." You're going to save the humble, but you're going to bring low those who view themselves too highly. And we see this, well, we would see this if we were reading this from Hebrew and knew geography of Edom. But there are three great plays on word in the Hebrew of the book of Obadiah. The first one is this. It's the word Selah or Selah. And it means rock or a cliff. And it's the word that is used in verse 3 when God, through Obadiah, says, "You who live in the clefts of the rock," Selah. Selah was also the name of one of Edom's cities. So God is saying, you think you have the rock, but your rock is worthless. Instead, it's the same word again. And there's a reason that when I asked Tracy to have Psalm 18 read. Because in Psalm 18, 2, the same word is used of God. And it says that God is our Selah, God is our rock and our fortress. God is our rock. Edom thought that Selah was their rock and their fortress, and God says, nope, you're wrong. Or there's another one. Now, this one is almost the same. And in the Hebrew, it's Seir. It's like a TZ sound at the beginning instead of just an S, but it's Seir. And it sounds like another one of their cities, which is Seir. We may not hear a lot of difference, but to them there was some. But it was a play on words. And it's the word that God used when in some translations it says messengers, in others it says I will send an envoy. An envoy has been sent among you to tell you these things. And they thought that their city was a fortress, but God says, you're accountable, and here is the envoy. And there's one more. Batsarim is the word grape gatherers, that God says that if the grape gatherers come and harvest your grapes, wouldn't they at least leave some gleanings? And that word, Batsir, is a lot like Basra, which is another one of the cities of Edom. And so God is using these plays on words and saying to the people of Edom, you think you're safe and secure. But if you really want safety and security, you're looking to the wrong places. Safety and security does not come in rock fortresses and rock cities. True safety and security is found in a relationship with God's oversight. And our safety, it's a great reminder that God is going to hold all people accountable, but our safety is powerless in the face of God. Our safety is worth absolutely nothing when we have to stand before the face of God. God doesn't care about where you dwell. God doesn't care about how much money you've made. God doesn't care how much armament you have to protect yourself. When we stand before God, our only hope is in knowing that God is faithful to do what he has promised. Our only hope is in trusting that God will forgive, as he's promised he'll do through his Son, Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. God says that we need to be building godly relationships with other people and trusting that he is faithful. He is faithful both to save and to judge. And he's writing to the people of Israel, and he's reminding them as he sends this message to the nation of Israel. What he's saying to them is that I see what you're going through. I see what you're enduring. I see what other people are doing to you, but I am faithful. And if we're to look at the message of God to the people of Israel through the prophecy to Edom, what we would say is that God is saying the same thing to us that he was saying to Israel. That he's saying the same thing to Israel through Obadiah that he was saying through John in the book of Revelation to his churches in Asia Minor. And that is, you must remain faithful. The one who remains faithful to the end will gather the reward. But the things of this earth offer no safety and no security. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we're going to sing one more song. But if you do, this morning it's a stark reminder. The prophecies are a stark reminder that we need to constantly be judging our own relationship with God and with others, and striving to live a godly life.